Welcome to the Inspired to be Authentic podcast, a podcast where we converse with people who are living their most authentic lives. We get real with our guests and talk openly about how they live with courage to be themselves. We explore barriers they have overcome to be more authentic and aligned to themselves and their purpose. I am your host, Matt Lancidell. I am a transformative life coach, empathic healer, and spiritual teacher. I specialize in teaching people how to heal shame and trauma and embody their authentic self so they can enjoy more meaningful connections in their lives. My areas of expertise are working with highly sensitive people, empaths, and gay men to develop a stronger sense of self-worth. This is episode 33, and we are talking about healing shame through shadow work. So if you are somebody who struggles with self-acceptance, shadow work is a really beautiful process that you can go through to learn how to accept yourself more, how to love yourself more. And we're going to be unpacking that today. So we're very excited to bring that to you. The questions we're going to be exploring are, what is shadow work? What have you learned from your own shadow work? What are some of the reasons that people avoid shadow work? And how can one learn to befriend their shadow? How does avoidance of our shadow give more power to it? And why is community so important while doing this or any other self-work? The Inspired to be Authentic podcast and YouTube channel is listener and viewer supported. If you are enjoying this content, you can support me by heading over to my Patreon page in the show notes to support the show. It helps me continue making inspirational content for you to consume. I wanted to read a review for you guys from this one's off of Apple, from The Midnight Poet. And they say, I am on a never-ending journey to self-love and inner liberation. Inspired to be Authentic is highly informative and such a powerful voice for inner healing and living the authentic life. Thank you very much for this. That's a really beautiful testimony. And today's episode is going to be perfect for you if you're if you're on a journey for more self-love and inner liberation. This is exactly what shadow work does. So without any further ado, thanks for hanging out, Patrick, and thanks for coming to spend the next hour with us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Excited to be here. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah, it's we have a good connection and we're looking forward to sharing that with you guys today. So Patrick is an entrepreneur who left a successful career in the corporate world to chase a lifelong dream of starting his own company. Having navigated the fear and numerous subconscious blocks along the path, he found his true passions of shadow and inner child work. He now serves as a guide and healer who helps others who seek to live a life of purpose and personal freedom, unattached from the fear and inner stories that so often hold us back from chasing our dreams. You're the perfect person to have for this topic. So,
thanks.
Yeah. So why don't, I'm curious to know a little bit more about that story, because you, this is quite a common story for people being in the corporate world and then transitioning over into more the helper, world. So I'm curious, do you want to share a little bit more about that? What was that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. So I was in the advertising industry for a little over a decade.
Yeah.
And a very successful career in advertising sales, working for a lot of multinational brands and whatnot. But, you know, and I was really good at it. And, you know, for a time I was really, really passionate about it. But then, you know, that voice in the back of your head kind of starts to get a little louder and say, hey, you're meant for something else. Hey, you're meant for something else. And I've always had business ideas. I mean, going back to when I was a kid. I just never really had the courage to take the leap and actually do it. Largely because I saw my dad's business fail, growing up. And so that is certainly a part of my story. And so I became pretty risk averse in a lot of different ways. And I think the biggest way that I became risk averse became part of my shadow, is just really betting on myself. But, after I had sat on this idea for, let's say, 3 years, the universe, I like to think that the universe conspired to make me so miserable in my last corporate job that it just kind of pushed me off the cliff and was like, no, motherfucker, you're going to go do this, whether you think you're ready or not.
Yeah.
And so in January of 2020, I did take that leap off of that cliff, and I, you know, started, you know, developing Inlit. I'm not a developer, but you know, I gathered the team and, you know, really just found all of the resources that I needed to get it done, you know, and I'm going from a career in advertising to launching a startup in the tech world. You know, this is not something I've ever done. It was a complete shift, a complete pivot, and certainly an edge for me. But at every step of the way, I just trusted my gut. And I remember, you know, in March of 2020, right at the beginning of the pandemic, when everything was shutting down, you know, this is when we thought it would be like 2 weeks, you know, I was sitting there with the development contract in front of me, and, you know, I was about to sign over tens of thousands of dollars to get this thing going. And I just sat there and I was like, should I be doing this right now? Like, or should I wait and wait for this thing to die down and then, you know, start it back up? But that little voice inside just said, no, we wouldn't have guided you in this direction if this isn't exactly what you were supposed to be doing right now. So went ahead and put my signature on it and continued on, and, you know, the rest is history. But yeah, you know, taking that leap was a big deal, because there were, you know, umpteen different stories bouncing around in my head, most of which had to do with money, you know, because people are like, oh, well, don't leave your job until you have, you know, enough revenue to support yourself, or, you know, until you have a product, or, you know, so many different things. And that's what I was kind of banking on and working towards. It's just that when I was in, you know, my last job, I still wasn't actually working toward my goal. I mean, I had the ultimate setup to be doing it. I mean, it was a fully remote company. I was working from home before working from home was cool/mandatory. and so, you know, but I still wasn't working towards it. And again, you know, I really just needed that nudge to take that leap.
Yeah. And you're happy you did that?
Oh, absolutely. I would not trade it for the world. Yeah.
Good. Cool. Okay. Well, it's good to know a little bit more about you and kind of what brought you to where you're at. Shall we dive in?
Let's dive in. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. Let's just go there. So we might both have different definitions of what shadow work is, because it can be interpreted differently by different people. So I'm curious for you, what does shadow work mean to you?
To me, shadow work is like a person's shadow is the parts of oneself that you deem unlovable. Mm. And it's the parts of yourself that you have shoved aside, you know, for whatever reason. Usually it's from some wound, right? But it's the parts of yourself. And the way that I like to, like the easiest way, I would say, that you can maybe uncover it a little bit is just, you know, if someone called you XYZ word, would you have a feeling of shame? Would you feel a contraction inside? Would you have a reaction? Would you get triggered?
Yeah.
And, you know, and certainly there's deeper ways, or ways to find, let's say, deeper shadow, but yeah, that's how I defined it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're quite in alignment. I'm going to frame it in a different way, or phrase it in a different way, so then the audience can have a different way of feeling it, maybe. I think the word shadow work is really intimidating for a lot of people. I've noticed that in the work that I do. I work in different communities, and whenever I talk about shadow work, it's like people immediately get like, what is that? That sounds so scary.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it can also be termed as like self-acceptance work. Like, you're doing the work that you need to do to clear out the parts of yourself. Like you said, these split off aspects of ourselves that we have learned to hate about ourselves. And they're rooted in shame, right? Which is why we call it healing shame through shadow work, because we need to move through the shadows, the things that we don't love about ourselves, to be able to make peace with those things so we can learn to have more self-acceptance and through self-acceptance, we are inspired to be authentic, which is exactly what this podcast is about. So, yeah, so I think that kind of paints the definition of what it is. And I'm curious for you, we've both done extensive amounts of shadow work. We've talked about that in our prep meeting. And I'm curious for you, what did you learn from your shadow work?
Ooh, so many things. I could go on about this for a while.
Yeah.
I'll use the most recent example. Okay. It's pretty fresh within the last month or two.
Okay.
But I have realized, because of my family history and my dad being who he is, he's a lifelong alcoholic, not in recovery. Mm. Really, really great man, but also very, very wounded. And his business failed, his marriage with my mom dissolved, and he's a pretty lonely person now, and he's 80, and he does not live any sort of a life that I aspire in any way to live. And so what I've realized recently is I just shoved him into my shadow. And he effectively is my shadow in so many ways, because for, I'd say, pretty much my entire life, I've been working to become anything but him. And so, that's as simply as I can put it. And as recent of an example as I can give, and truly one that I'm actively working through.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It's like you said, it's fresh. And I can feel the energy around it. And I feel like, you're being served by doing that work. Can definitely
thank you.
Feel that. Geez, I've done extensive amounts of shadow work. And I think, one thing that before I talk about mine, actually, there's one thing that I want to share, because I think, shadow work actually comes out of Jungian psychology. And it's the way that I frame shadow work through a psychological point of view is we have like our shadow self, which is like it's in our psyche. It's these parts of us that we truly have split from, that we don't have like a conscious awareness of them. They're very subconscious and they kind of lurk in the shadows and they wreak havoc in our lives. And a lot of us aren't aware of these shadows. And then we have our ego structure, which is this kind of the way that we see ourselves. It's like the voices in our head of how we want to be in, experienced by the world and how we want to be seen. And then we have our authentic self, which is like this essence of who we are, this soul driven kind of part of us. The ego's job is essentially to not allow our essential self, our authentic self, to be able to see these shadows. So it plays tricks on us. It does all these little things. Like it uses denial, blame, minimizing, all these psychological defenses to prevent us from having to be and be with our shadows. So we have to do
And it's really good at it.
It's really, really good at it.
It's really good at it.
Yeah. And if you're somebody who experienced trauma as a child, you likely had a premature ego formation. Your ego had to develop strongly from a young age. And I know mine did. So I had a lot of shadows to move through. And I have been doing shadow work for probably a greater part of 15 years and deep work. And I think that you have to first kind of prime the ego. You have to understand your ego and the way your ego is trying to keep you safe before you get introduced to your shadows, right? So I just wanted to say that, because I think for me, there's a lot of guarding that was taking place by my ego that I had to reconcile first before I could meet my shadows. And I would say one of the things that I've learned from my shadow work is a lot of, growing up gay and growing up sensitive were two major wounds for me that I had to do a lot of healing around. And I attributed both of those things to being that there was something wrong with me. I was defective. You hear in locker rooms, I played hockey growing up, you hear in different cultures the word faggot, or you're such a pussy, or all these things that are rooted in degradation of the feminine. And I attributed my homosexuality and my sensitivity as being more feminine. So what happened was I quickly learned that it was not safe to be those things. So I learned to hide them. So I, you know, I played hockey. I was extra aggressive. I rode motorcycles. I did all the uber masculine things, and I wore the mask of masculinity very tight on my face. So I could prevent myself from having to be shamed for those things. And what I've learned from my shadow work is the, you know, the very things that I once hid, right, are the, now the very things that I'm the most proud of. Right, I'm very proud to be a gay man. I'm very proud to be a sensitive man. I'm very proud to be empathic. Like, these are now my gifts. And I think that so what shadow work has taught me is that it is possible to get to a point where once you unpack the conditioning around your shadows, you can start to see the things that you once hated about yourself and learn to love those things. So it really is, it's probably the most powerful work I've ever done. It's had the most potency of all the personal development work I've ever done.
Yeah. And I would 100% agree with that. And I certainly identify with the sensitive piece, you know, because, and as a straight man who grew up playing sports and heard all of those same things and locker rooms and whatnot, I, you know, but also being sensitive, you know, there's definitely that part of myself that I put into my shadow, you know, as well. And I think just culturally as a whole, I mean, forget sports, you know, just men, you know, just, it's the whole adage, like, men don't cry. Right. Yeah. And that is reinforced in our psyches in so many different ways. And I remember being, you know, a teenager and sitting there, you know, watching, you know, I'd be watching a movie with all my buddies and I'd be sitting there like trying to hide tears, you know, and like looking around, like, I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm the only one of my buddies that's in this movie, like crying right now. and meanwhile, you know, fast forward like 5 or 10 years, like I talked to some of my buddies about, they're like, oh no, like I cried in movies too. And I'm like, why did we not just admit this to each other early on? But anyway, I mean, to your point around, you know, those attributes becoming one of your greatest source, I forget exact phrasing you use, but, you know, something that you really hang your hat on, you know, and a source of pride for you. I would absolutely say the exact same thing. And I think that's part of the reason that shadow work is so hard because, you know, when we're going to the deepest parts of ourselves that we've buried long ago, that we don't want to look at, that are arguably in many ways the most shameful, or we see them as the most shameful parts of ourselves. I mean, that's, to me, that's always been where the gold is.
Yeah.
And the more that we can shine light in those shadows, the more of ourselves we unblock, the more of ourselves we bring to the surface, and the more whole that we are and that we become, and the less controlled we are by all of it. And I think that, you know, it's just sort of that whole, you know, you gotta dip really low to bounce really high. and that is, you know, to me, that is shadow work, you know, because once we find our shadows, oh man, we can, and when we, you know, once we really heal that shame and own it and, you know, and reclaim these parts of ourselves, it really does become something that we can shout from the rooftops and something that we can, not just that, but we can share with others in the most wholesome, wholehearted, and just fulfilling way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. It made me think about, just periods in my life where I didn't want to be who I was.
Yeah.
And I had so much self-rejection, and it's just like a, it feels like it's like you feel trapped within yourself. Cause you're like, I don't want to be these things. I didn't want to be gay. I remember I would pray when I was like, whatever, like 10, 11, 12 years old, I would pray that I would wake up the next day and not be gay. And, it feels so suffocating because it's like you're holding all of this stuff in, right? And a lot of this is secrecy. Like, we're all keeping these secrets hidden. We're not sharing them with anybody. So it's just like, it's festering inside of us, and it's contributing to things like mental illness and addiction. And, you know, the shadow work truly is like, it's self-liberation work. It's like, you're liberating yourself from viewing yourself as someone that you don't want to be, to someone that you can accept, and then eventually to someone that you can own, right? And I would say that's where I'm at now. I'm in like self-ownership on my authentic journey, because I don't just accept the fact that I'm gay. I own it now. Like, I'm very proud to be these parts of me that I once didn't like.
I definitely see that. And you know, what came up for me as you were speaking, I think back to myself, let's say as a teenager, because I didn't drink till I was 21, and I didn't really have a good reason at the time. And I also just happened to fall in with some groups of friends who also didn't drink. And, you know, it was great. And, you know, as soon as we all turned 21, we started drinking, whatever. But I always was a lot more adamant about it than everybody else. And I never really knew why. I now know why, because, you know, I didn't know at the time that my dad was an alcoholic, but I had already developed this subversive, you know, and kind of shadow view of alcohol. And, you know, essentially I just equated it to like, alcohol is bad. Alcohol causes problems. And, you know, people who drink are bad.
Yeah.
And man, I was judgmental as fuck around drinking and people that drank. And I mean, I look back at that version of myself and I still cringe a little bit, just because I was so judgmental and it was just so not even remotely fair. And I look back at that version of myself and I kind of want to just shake him and be like, yo, let loose, like have a beer, man. You know?
Yeah. Your example's really, really relative. Like, it just feels like, it's what you're moving through. Okay. So why, or what are some of the reasons that people avoid shadow work?
I think we already hit on some of them. One, it's hard, you know, it's not, and I say it's hard, but it doesn't have to be as scary as it seems. You know, I mean, once you get used to doing that work, you can really have some incredibly cathartic and beautiful experiences with your shadow. And I certainly have. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, just think about the word shadow in and of itself and all of the connotations. You know, the connotation is darkness. Exactly. The connotation is I can't see. The connotation is, you know, I don't have control because I can't see.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for all of these reasons, this is what, you know, keeps people from it. And I also think, you know, to a certain degree, people just don't necessarily know what it is. You know, they don't necessarily, because I remember when I first started hearing that, I was like, okay, cool. Like that, I'm not quite sure what it is, but, you know, good for you. And you know, it wasn't until I actually, you know, took the time and set the intention to figure out what it is and start to dive into it. So, yeah, I mean, it's, despite the ways in which we've defined it, you know, I still think even with that, it can be a little ambiguous to people. And so I think that number one holds people back. And you know, number two, you know, as we've said, it's like, well, you're going to look at the parts of yourself that, that you have rejected and that you think are unlovable.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit with those, you know, and you're going to sit with, you know, 8-year-old, 10-year-old Matt.
Yeah.
And, you know, who's sitting there alone, who, you know, knows he's gay, but doesn't want anything but that. And he's, you know, alone. And anytime we're suffering in silence, I think for the most part, there's a shame level, you know, as well. And just being able to revisit and sit in that shame, you know, and that's hard. You know, this is very, very courageous, very brave work.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anything else that is more freeing.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Me too. To add to what you said, I think the around control, people don't like to not have control. I've yet to meet one human that doesn't like to have control. So
right. Yeah.
who wants to give that up, right?
Yeah. Or if they say they do, then you know you've met a liar.
Yeah, exactly. They're operating out of shadow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think for me, the avoidance, I've noticed the two most common ways I see it in my work is, and even in myself, is I'd say the number one is projection. I think that we avoid because it's easier to blame. And it's easier to say, this is the world's problem. This is that person's problem, right? If we're so triggered by something outside of ourselves, it usually means there's something activated within our own ego or within our own shadow. And I think that many of us don't want to take responsibility, especially when we're not ready and we're not at that stage in our healing journey to take responsibility. We might still be in that victim role or whatever. So it's easier to just project from our shadow than it is to actually work within our shadow and start to heal those aspects. Because that takes a lot of humility. Like my shadow work is what gave birth to my humility. I wasn't a very humble person before doing shadow work. And like when you start to meet these parts of yourself and you start to learn to love them, you become humble, and then you're humble. My humility is what gave me like a sense of empowerment, right? Because I was like, oh wow, like I'm no longer letting these things pull me into the swampy waters, right? I went into the swampy waters. And I worked with this stuff and I realized that, okay, it's not actually that scary because you made such a good point. Like usually if there's secrecy, it means that there's shame. Shame is involved in some way, shape or form whenever it's secrecy or silence around some sort of thing we don't love about ourselves. And the only way to heal it is to meet those things and expose them and bring them into the light. And this is why I also recommend shadow work be done with somebody. So whether it's a therapist or a coach or somebody, a friend, family member, like doing it with somebody, because when you're seen in your shadows, that's where the healing takes place, because otherwise it just stays in the shadow because you're the only one that's seen it. But I do think that's the first step. You got to see it yourself and expose it to yourself, and then you can share it with other people.
Yeah, it's absolutely a process. You know, I think it's incredibly difficult, you know, for someone to just go like whole hog and just be like, I'm going to share it all. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's so important to be gentle with yourself in this work. And, you know, going back to something that you said, you know, there can be so much resistance to doing this work because so many of these shadow wounds come from, you know, whether it be trauma or, you know, just other people being imperfect, you know, other people showing their shadows, right? But you don't necessarily know it. And there can be a lot of anger there, you know, because I look at my journey, you know, with my dad, and no, it's not his fault that he's an alcoholic. I mean, his dad died when he was 10 years old. He had no tools, you know, his mom is also an alcoholic. Like he didn't really have a chance for the most part, not to be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I grew up in Cocoa Beach, Florida in the 40s and 50s, like not a lot of mental health resources. And, you know, so it's not, I'm at the point now where, you know, I can fully say wholeheartedly, like, no, that's not his fault. And it's not necessarily his fault, you know, the things that happened, you know, within our family and that got passed on to me. And it's not my fault. I didn't cause them, but it is my responsibility to heal it within myself. If I want to live a different life, you know, if I want to accomplish, you know, all that I dream about and that I wake up every day, you know, thinking about. And so I don't know who said it, but you know that phrase, like, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. That's a hard one to swallow sometimes. just because it actually is easier in so many aspects to take responsibility for things that are our fault. Mm-hmm. You know, if I say something shitty to you, then apologizing for it, well, yeah, it might be, you know, might take some humility and whatever to come back to you and say that, like, I still know that that was directly connected and that I caused that.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, it takes a whole lot more strength and courage, I would say, to come and take responsibility for one's healing process in the face of trauma, you know, when it wasn't necessarily your fault. And so I think, you know, people coming to terms with that and facing that, that's another huge block that I think sits in the way of shadow work.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I think for me, that was one of my shadows. The victimhood was a shadow mm-hmm. of mine, because I always thought I was like empowered and I'm doing all this work. I've been doing coaching and counseling work for almost 15 years. And I had been stuck in my own trauma and stuck in my own stuff because of my victim shadow. And then I had to move through the victim shadow. I had to grieve and fully purge that out. And then I was able to meet these other parts of myself, and I was able to practice forgiveness towards my parents and all these things, you know. So it's really, really fascinating how the shadow kind of lurks itself. And I just wanted to say that you're totally a spiritual warrior. You're
thank you, man.
Yeah, you're doing your work, and it's I just wanted to honor that about you. Yeah.
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
Okay, so how can one learn to befriend their shadow?
You know, simplest version, just talk to it. Mm-hmm. Talk to it. You know, there's a really good technique that, you know, that I've learned, you know, it's just, and I'm sure you know it, it's just personify it.
Yeah.
Give it a name.
Yeah.
You know, and you can do this with anything. You can do this with fear. You can do this with shadow. You can do this with shame. You know, give them names. And when you do that, it's so disarming for that emotion mm-hmm. or that feeling when it comes up. And so, you know, I just name it. And I literally imagine myself like in a bar or at a restaurant, you know, at a high top table, and I just slide a beer over to it and I say, hey, you know, what's going on? What do you have to tell me? Yeah. And, you know, very often, and like me being clairvoyant, like I just get these visions, you know, and it plays like a movie in my head. So, so I'll just literally see like a physical manifestation of my shadow sitting at the table with me. And, you know, sometimes it kind of gives me this surprised look where it's like, oh, wait, huh? You know that I'm here? And I'm like, yeah, I know you're here. Like I know that you don't think, you know, you've been hiding for decades, but I know you're here now. Yeah. And let's talk. And then just shut up and listen. Mm-hmm. And don't judge anything that comes up, because the thing is at the end of the day, it's all just data. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all just information. And when you can really reach that point of detachment where you just see it as data and information, I think that's such a powerful place. And with that said, there's also value in diving into your shadow in a different way and just kind of becoming it. Yeah. And it, from a sense of just allowing yourself to feel all of the feelings.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's very often where, you know, shadows get created as well. You know, I mean, we can go back to the highly sensitive example.
Yeah.
Because you and I share that.
Yeah.
And, you know, just allowing 10-year-old Matt or 10-year-old Patrick to just, you know, just go back to that moment, you know, in the movies with your friends where, you know, you think you're the only one, and just let yourself cry, you know, just let that version of yourself cry, because that's a stuck emotion.
Yeah.
You know, it's a frozen emotion, and, you know, that ended up creating some shadow, and it just needs to move. You know, it just needs to be loved. It needs to be seen. It needs to be enveloped in compassion, And it just, you know, the emotion needs to move. And then, man, like the times where I've done this, it just clears energy. Like it's hard while you're in it. And afterwards, you kind of feel sometimes like you got your ass kicked because you've done work. Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes a lot of energy to do this work, but man, you feel so free.
Yeah.
You feel so free.
Yeah. I love that. We're so in alignment with, with the way we view these sorts of things. So I'm really happy about that. Cause
I love it.
Your sharing is allowing me to kind of build off of things, and this is going to be a good product. So I have a three-step process that I think is, if you're very, very new and you don't have a lot of self-awareness around this stuff and you just find that you're triggered by people easily, this is going to be a big sign that you have unintegrated shadows if you're triggered by other people.
Because yeah,
other people are going to illuminate our shadows with their unintegrated stuff. So the three-step process is you're going to think of three people. Or you can even start with one, but think of three people that you don't like, that piss you off or irritate you. And I want you to put them at the top of a sheet of paper each. And then I want you to write down all the things that you don't like about those people. Okay. And then the third step is to cross off their name and replace your name.
I knew where this was going. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a little cheeky, but I want to be clear that just because you don't like something about somebody else doesn't necessarily mean it's a shadow, but it's going to point you in the right direction. And then you're going to go through the lists of things and you're going to say, okay, which things really, really are very, very emotionally motivated, and then circle those ones. And those are going to probably guide you to your shadows, right? That's one thing that's important. And then, so that's kind of how you can start to befriend your shadows. And I just want to really build off of what you said, Patrick, about it being kind of an emotional thing, and you have to kind of feel it. You have to move through it. I think shadows show up as emotions primarily. And I think secondarily, they show up as memories and thoughts, right? And I think they show up as memories and thoughts more when we haven't learned how to feel. So embodiment and learning how to feel our emotions is going to be one of the most important things of shadow work. And I think for a lot of people, they get stuck in the feeling, the feeling to release their shadows, because they think that they're reliving the shadow self. But what's happening when you're doing the shadow work is you're releasing. You're purging, right? So just, you have to reframe when you're doing shadow work that, okay, I'm just, because I'm feeling these feelings or having these thoughts or thinking about these memories, it doesn't mean I'm stuck in a cycle. It means that you're linear, you're moving upwards and you're purging. And I think that reframe helped me so much, because then every time I would have these negative thoughts or these negative feelings, I could practice gratitude for another layer of my shadow kind of peeling back and opening up and creating more spaciousness inside of me.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. And I think to add to that, you know, I think I know I've been in it. There's this really clear fear of, oh, well, if I go and visit it, then I'm going to become that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to come out of this experience more angry, or, you know, whatever it might be. And, you know, that's simply not the case. You know, you're just revisiting a part of yourself. And I think a really important thing to do when doing this work is to be really intentional about setting a container. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether you do some verbal incantation, you know, you can have a singing bowl, you know, whatever it is, but mark the beginning and mark the end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for our psyches, for our minds, and certainly for our spirits, you know, that's so helpful.
Yeah.
You know, and just saying like, okay, like within this container, I'm going to go there. And then once this container is closed, then I'm not there anymore. I'm back. I'm grounded. You know, I'm back in, you know, just the present moment, you know, and I can see five things around me. I can feel the floor. I can feel my hair, you know, whatever it is. Just so you really can truly be sure that no, like I'm not going to become that, you know, I'm going to go and visit it and then I'm gonna come back out. And like you said, you're just clearing space.
Yeah.
You're clearing space.
I love that. And that is such a perfect segue into the thought that I was having before you shared that, because this is why I'm not a huge fan of applying the law of attraction model, which states, if you think it, you will become it. Okay.
Yeah. That's because not,
it's not trauma informed. It's not trauma informed because right. people that have stuck energy, stuck emotional energy in their bodies, we have to go there. We have to meet it. We have to meet the thoughts and we got to be with them. And what people do is they use that as an avoidance strategy, being like, well, I don't want to think it because if I think it, it'll become true.
Yeah.
So I'm not a huge fan of the LOA, the law of attraction model of working with clients because it keeps us essentially spiritually bypassing, right? We're bypassing mm-hmm. or emotional bypassing and not having to be with all of this stuff, right? Shadow work is the opposite of that. It's like, man, you got to get into the trenches. You got to be with all that, those negative, nasty thoughts that you're perseverating over, because they're going to lead you to the gold, which is what needs to be cleared out. And then once you clear it out, you've entered the promised land, right? So yeah, that's I love that.
Thanks. Yeah. And you, you made me think of Lacey Phillips and the work that she does with To Be Magnetic. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Nope.
She coined the term neural manifestation.
Okay.
And it's all about manifesting, but she describes it kind of in a way that you just did. You know, she says she uses the term spiritual bypass manifestation, which is the whole just think good thoughts and have your vision board and on all of these things. And you know, neither you nor I is saying that these things are bad exactly. by any means,
yeah.
but we manifest from our subconscious. Mm-hmm. And if subconsciously we have some belief and have some low area of self-worth,
yeah.
then we're just going to continue to attract that until we go into that area and see it and unblock it and, you know, whatever else needs to be done. And so it really kind of takes the law of attraction and marries neuroscience, yeah. you know, with it.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. I'm a huge, huge fan of it. And, you know, it's so interesting because, you know, how once you learn something or, you know, something gets kind of revealed to you, or you have this big moment of inspiration, you can kind of see the trail of breadcrumbs, you know, yeah. back in your life leading you to that. And you're like, oh, that's why this happened, you know? And I can look back and see all of these moments of, you know, think positive and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just like, well, why the hell isn't this working? Well, oh yeah, it's not working because you haven't really done the deeper work
yeah.
to unblock yourself. And so, yeah, I think you're 100% correct in saying that. And, you know, I mean, I think if there's one thing that, you know, we could all do that is just, you know, I've already said it, like, that's just so freeing, you know, that will, create that space and allow your subconscious to up level. I mean, shadow work is right up there in my top five, I would say.
Yeah. Heck yes. Yeah. Cool. All right. How does avoidance of our shadow give more power to it?
Oh man, so many ways, so many ways. Okay, so I'll use a very specific example. Going back to my dad. So I remember I was like 11, 12 years old, and I remember him calling me over to the computer, you know, and this is like, I don't know, 1998 circa, somewhere there. And so he's on AOL. and he has sold a large amount of stock. And he, you know, he shows me the number and he says, I'm selling this for safekeeping because it's your college fund. Mm. And you know, it's your and your younger brother's college fund. And I said, oh, okay. You know, and I vividly remember that. Now, fast forward 5-6 years, however long it was, you know, I go to college, and mind you, I go to college on a full academic scholarship because the state that I grew up in, you know, I went to an in-state school. And, you know, if you had a certain GPA, then your tuition was covered. Mm. And he still makes me take out a loan each year at the beginning of school. Mm. And my parents were, you know, it was a lot of smoke and mirrors in terms of, I mean, my dad's business was certainly going downhill by that point. And it was just a lot of, like just, you know, like I said, smoke and mirrors and just very mixed messages, you know, around money and whatnot. And so, so I didn't know how serious the situation really had become. And so, you know, I hand him this loan check at the beginning of every year. And then, you know, and this would happen at least 5-6 times a year, you know, during whatever semester it would be, where, you know, it'd be 2 days before the end of the month, I would call him up and say, "Hey, I need my monthly check for rent and food." And he'd say, I don't have it. And mind you, I'm, you know, 19 years old. I've got $30 in my bank account. And, you know, I need to eat and pay rent. And so it would become this screaming match to get him to try to give me this money. And, you know, ultimately I would end up getting it. And, you know, some of this stuff was so, let's say, quote unquote, normal to me that I didn't realize how messed up that situation was. That I would give him this loan check, it was clearly for school at the beginning of every year, and then call him up and be like, "I don't have it," you know, because he spent it elsewhere, paying off credit cards or, you know, whatever it might be. And so the shadow piece there for me was, well, if you give your money away, if you invest your money, if you, you know, whatever, if you let go of it in any way, it's not going to come back to you.
Yeah, definitely.
And so for my entire life, I've had really, really deep fears around investing in the stock market or, you know, anything that's just not super safe. And I look back, like just in the early days of the pandemic, and, you know, I mean, this is still a story that I'm actively working through, where I was like, "Oh man, the market's tanking. Like this would be a good time to invest right now." And I was looking at companies like Zoom, you know, and all these different ones that I was like, "Okay, like if we're in this for a while, you know, what companies are really, you know, do we think are really going to pop?" And, you know, Zoom being one of them, and there are a few others. Man, if I had actually pulled the trigger on those investments, I would be a millionaire right now. Not even joking. But I didn't.
Yeah.
And I kept all of that money in cash. And, you know, it's still sitting there in the amount that it is. And, you know, this is just, that is a, you know, like I said, it's an active shadow story that I'm working through. And going back to, you know, the original question of how does ignoring your shadow, you know, give it more power, give it more control? Well, that's it, you know, and it wasn't until this fall, I mean, the last 6 months, that I really did the deeper work and discovered these shadow stories around money. And so, you know, for me, the controlling aspect of my shadow was, well, you know, keep that money safe. You know, if you invest it, if you give it away, then you're going to lose it.
Yeah.
And it, you know, as a result, I missed out on some really huge gains.
Yeah.
And there will be more in the future. Hey, you know, hashtag abundance mindset, but right.
It wasn't your time to be a millionaire yet.
It wasn't my time to be a millionaire yet. But yeah, it, you know, it, so, I mean, that's a prime example of those money stories being in my shadow and being the controlling factor in making my decisions around money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really, really great example. I'm going to share, well, okay. I think it keeps us stuck in fear. That's one of the things. I think when we have a shadow aspect, I think sometimes shadow aspects are desires that we don't allow ourselves to have. And I think I'll give you an example.
Yes.
for people that have like sexual desires to be more sexually liberated, but they're, let's say they're religious or they're some type of upbringing told them that it was not good to be that way.
Yeah.
Right. So we have an unmet need. And that is where that's what the shadow is built around. It's built around an unmet need or us shaming ourselves for having these needs. And then when we don't honor that and we have an authentic desire to be a sexual human being, and yet we're repressing our sexuality because of our religious or our upbringing, the shadow will grow and grow and grow until it wreaks enough havoc in your life that you have a nervous breakdown or you have something to the point where it says, okay, you need to address this. And I think that that's what, how we give more power to our shadow is by not meeting the needs that the shadow has in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I can very much identify with the example that you use too, because I grew up very Catholic, went to Catholic school. My dad was very, very, letter of the law Catholic. So, I feel you on that example as well.
Yeah. I see that a lot in the gay community, because a lot of people repress and hide their sexuality, and then that's what their shadow becomes. So a lot of gay men actually have internalized homophobia, and they hate other gay men when they've yet to come out, because they see it in themselves, like, the lack of acceptance they have around that. So, okay. Last question. Why is community so important while doing this or any other self work?
We're just not meant to do it alone.
Yeah.
We're really not meant to do it alone. And so much of this work can feel like a little bit of a dismantling or a crumbling of oneself, and it's important to let yourself crumble in that manner. But you also need people around you to help you pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
And who can witness you in the depths of your own shadow without judgment and with nothing but a container of love and compassion. Because ultimately, the shadow just wants to be seen.
Yeah.
It truly does. It really, truly does want to be seen, because like you said, it's an unmet need, and that need wants to be met. And it can seem like your shadow is running from you, is hiding from you, because of, in that moment when the shadow is created, that story becomes, well, I can't be this, I can't be a sensitive man, because then I won't receive love. Because I'm a sensitive man, exactly. I'm going to get made fun of in the locker room. And so, well, we're going to shut off that sensitivity, by God. And so, and so just surrounding yourself with safe people who can truly love you and witness you in these moments and just say, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here to help you pick up the pieces. I'm here to, so that you feel safe to let go.
Yeah.
To truly let go and be held, by me or by this community or by this group, and trust that you're going to be okay, because we've got you. Because we've got you. And that is, that in and of itself, asking for help can be in one shadow, right? Just that alone. Yeah. Yeah. It was in mine too, for sure. Yeah. Same. I think you can also discover parts of your shadow through reflecting it to other people. That, whether it be other aspects of, let's say, the same shadow, or, completely different shadow that you didn't know was there, just by getting other people's perspectives and allowing yourself to be seen in that manner. And so it can actually accelerate, shadow work in so many different ways.
Yeah. That's such a well-rounded answer. I feel like you answered it pretty holistically. It leaves just maybe a piece. You talk about kind of like, I see it kind of like a spectrum. We need the compassion. We need all like the stuff over here. And this is why community is so important, right? We need that. We need the net. We're biologically hardwired for attachment, connection, belonging, these sorts of things. It's so essential. So I'll touch on the other side of it, which you kind of did already, but we need the mirror from other people. We need the triggering from other people. We need to see somebody doing something that triggers us. And then we need to lead with curiosity and be like, oh shit, that's part of my shadow.
Yep.
I think I always say we have, we're all just triggering each other into our highest evolutionary selves.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really what's happening, right? Like we're playing the villains in each other's stories to wake each other up. Right. And,
yep.
You know, I play the villain in some people's stories, whether I do anything or not, somebody can still make me be the villain. And I also need villains in my story in order to help myself evolve. So I just think, and I think that's what we're going through right now on this planet. I think that's what
COVID
and all this divisiveness around vaccines and stuff. I just think that this is creating us, we're being made to be villains for each other so we can evolve. Cause I really believe that spiritual evolution occurs most potently out of suffering. And I think that when we create suffering for each other, it's helping us evolve. And we're going through this dark, dark collective shadow work as a planet. And I just think that, I know I have faith because I know what happens through shadow work. And I know that on the other side of this collective shadow work, we're going to be living in such a beautiful, peaceful world. But it's unfortunately, we're having to take one massive step backwards right now to take a couple steps forward. But yeah, that's probably my best way of framing it.
No, I love that. And similar to you, just different words, I always say the triggers are the path, and anytime that I get triggered, I actually, not every time, I'm not perfect in this, but for the most part, I really try to view it and honestly get excited about it and say, thank you.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, this is actually serving me, you know? And I mean, you use the word villain. And you're 100%, correct in that. And, it's just like befriend those villains, right? And know that it's not any sort of failure or whatever, on your part, if you continue to get triggered by this thing, there's just something you haven't quite learned. Mm-hmm. And in these triggers, you're actually being supported.
Yeah.
The triggers, it's like rungs on a ladder. Each one is just another rung inviting you to climb higher, And if it's the same trigger over and over again, well, you haven't stepped on that rung, motherfucker. Like get on it, because then the next one's going to come.
Yeah.
That actually is part of the manifestation process, because when you set your mind to call something in and you say that, I want this thing. Well, generally, the universe is going to send you a bunch of triggers and a bunch of tests in order such that you can prove that you're ready to climb up that ladder, to go to that next rung, to vibrate on that, on that next level.
Yeah.
Because, dating's a really low hanging fruit, example. I mean, if you, if you keep saying yes to the same man or woman, the same type of behavior, where they're not returning your calls, they're not communicating, clearly, they're not doing whatever it is, the thing that you really truly desire in your heart of hearts, but you keep saying yes because you don't want to be alone. Well, guess what? You're going to keep getting that thing,
exactly.
And until you start saying no to that man or woman who doesn't call you back, when you feel like you deserve to be called back or whatever it might be, then, that once you start saying no to that, then, that's the signal.
Yeah.
Oh, Patrick's ready. Oh, Matt's ready.
Yeah.
Like let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Cause it's like, you're resonating in like the energy of worthiness. Like I've done my work, I've healed my shadows. I'm feeling more worthy. So now I can attract somebody who matches my vibration of worthiness. Right. And that's where I think the law of attraction is really beneficial. It's like once we've done the work and we're now in this state of vibrating subconsciously what we want and desire, then law of attraction comes in to work. So I think we need to order it differently. People come in and they have unhealed trauma. and you're jumping right into LOA, just think good thoughts, think good thoughts. That's not going to heal your trauma. You need to do the work first, and then you can start to learn to be a manifester once you've cleared out the things that are preventing you from being able to see clearly what it is that you desire in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Final thoughts. I don't know, man. I've just loved this conversation.
I know.
You know, it's rare that you come across somebody who's like, yes, let's go deep into shadow and have a really in-depth conversation about it. So I think the final thought, I've already said it, but shadow work is so worth it.
Yeah.
Deeper work is so worth it because it is hands down some of the most liberating work you'll ever do.
Yeah.
And it really truly is the path to all that you desire, all your dreams. And it will create that space such that you can call in, the job, the partnership, the mountain home, whatever it is that you're seeking.
Yeah.
It's such a deep well of, it's a deep well of wisdom.
Yeah, to be honest,
there's so much wisdom in the shadows if you're just willing to go there and you're willing to listen.
Yeah, that's so well said. And I think, look at, for example, like this, like I bet you 20 years ago, I wouldn't have wanted to sit down and talk to another sensitive man because I was hiding that part of myself. So like, as I learned to make peace with my sensitivity, I now am sharing that with the world. And I'm now attracting awesome dudes like you that can come into my life and talk about sensitivity. We can have these deeper conversations.
Yeah,
so for it's sure. Like, the people that trigger us are the people that are the most like us. And when we do our shadow work, we have compassion for those people and we make room in our lives for them to come in because they've gone through something very similar to you and you can bond over that. So I would just say, don't, keep, that's why I like that saying, like, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer, because they usually are the people that can teach you the most about yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I want to thank Alyssa for connecting us because she is the conduit for this connection. So thank you, Alyssa, if you're listening, and we appreciate the connection. And I wanted to thank you for coming on and sharing your story so openly with us and just willing to unpack your wisdom with myself and the audience. We are in deep gratitude for that. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And as always, I want to thank the audience for tuning in to another episode, episode 33. I know I was on a major hiatus. I think it's been almost 6 months since I've posted an episode. So I'm really happy to be back. I've got some really awesome guests lined up for you guys in the next couple months here. So expect some really awesome, juicy content coming your way. If you're tuning in on YouTube, please give us a subscribe and hit the bell icon and you'll get notified when I release the new content each week. And if you're tuning in on Spotify or Apple, please give us a star rating and a review, because I'm going to be reading the reviews on each episode now, and share these if you like them. If somebody can benefit from hearing what Patrick and I had to share today, please share it, because people need to hear this wisdom. This planet is waking up. It's waking up fast, and people need this information to help with their awakening process. So again, Patrick, thanks again, and much love to everybody.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.